BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Scripture provides many warnings to us, but some of these warnings are given repeatedly throughout the pages of Scripture. And one of these warnings is about false teachers, even a false gospel, which is not another gospel, it's a false gospel. The Apostle Paul also warned of those who are deceivers, that they've gone out into the world, and many talk about in 2 Timothy 3 that many are deceived and being deceived. John, one of Jesus' disciples under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote as recorded in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And friends, as this coronavirus has become front and center all over the world, there is deception that abounds. There are teachings going forth that people all over the globe are falling prey to. Such was the case of our guest today. He comes with a warning about that which is deception and that which is truth, turning us to the truth of God's word. He's contending for the gospel. Joining us today, we welcome Mike Gendron. Mike is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Mike was a devout Roman Catholic for over three decades. He was taught to rely upon the authority of the church above all else. Searched the scriptures, though, he was amazed to find that what he read in scripture contradicted the teachings and the traditions of the church he was following at, that he had been a part of for so long. Well, he trusted Jesus as his Savior, the Bible becoming his sole authority for all matters of faith. Mike is the author of the books Preparing for Eternity and also Contending for the Gospel. Mike, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always good to be with you, especially when we're talking about contending for the gospel.
Mike, you've been with us several times here on Crosstalk. Do you believe that religious deception is intensifying, as in getting more severe, or is religious deception dissipating? As more people become enlightened, is it going away?
No, I do believe it is increasing, and we shouldn't be surprised, because when the apostles asked the Lord Jesus what will be the signs of his return, he said in Matthew 24 that many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. He said in verse 24, false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to be misled, if possible, even the elect. And so this is going to happen, and we need to be prepared for it. We need to contend earnestly for the gospel. Jim, I think the greatest attack on the Christian faith today is on the purity and the exclusivity of the gospel. And that's what we need to be aware of as we try to rescue people out from under religious deception. We know the only way that they can be set free is through the truth of God's word.
Mike, there are multiple stories coming out of the Vatican and other sources today I'd like you to address as it relates to even coverage of the coronavirus. And I'd like to begin with a story that came out from Vatican News earlier this month indicating that the Pope offered a prayer to the Virgin Mary for protection during this time of the coronavirus. And I'd like to quote a paragraph from the article. Matteo Bruni, director of the Holy See Press Office, said Tuesday that the Pope wanted to entrust the city of Rome, all of Italy, and the entire world to the protection of the Mother of God as a sign of salvation and hope during the ongoing coronavirus emergency. The Pope also said, "We seek refuge under Our Lady's protection and asked the Virgin Mary to watch over the world in this current moment of crisis." Could you respond to this?
Well, yes, this is the exaltation of Mary. The Roman Catholic Church has long given her the attributes of God. And this is just an indication. It goes back to Genesis 3:15 in the Latin Vulgate, where they misinterpreted the passage there saying that she will crush the head of the serpent. And so ever since then, the Roman Catholic Church has exalted Mary to this position of being a refuge. But we have to look at Scripture, and we find from the inspired words of King David in Psalm 62, verse 6, that God alone is my protector and deliverer. He is my refuge. I will not be upended. And once again, we see how important the word alone is, just like the reformers had the five solas in the Reformation regarding justification and salvation. Here we see that God alone is our protector and deliverer. He is our refuge, and Mary just cannot help us. She is a mere human being that has now gone asleep, and she's awaiting the resurrection of her son as well as we are.
I'd like to go...
I'm sorry, not the resurrection of her son, the ascension of her son.
Mike, I'd like to address this matter even further. Despite living in one of the hardest-hit countries suffering from coronavirus, there's a professor, Roberto Di Matte, who remains hopeful, saying he tells us to remind one another that everything that happens is for the triumph of the church, and that the closer the punishment is, the closer will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that Our Lady has promised us. The solution to all this suffering is Our Lady of Fatima. That is not a battle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. It's waged first in our hearts. The formula for success is the following: daily Mass where possible, first five Saturdays, three Hail Marys, rosary, confession, consecration to Our Lady of ourselves and our families, wearing the scapular, and the intercession of the saints and guardian angels. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, Our Lady promised. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she'll be converted, and a period of peace shall be granted to the world. Your response?
Well, Jim, we have to ask the question, where is God? You look at all the activities that Catholics must do, and it has nothing to do with a total trust and belief in the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Mary. It's all about religious rituals and activities. You know, it's really interesting that he said everything that happens is for the triumph of the church.
Mm-hmm.
What about Romans 8:28? God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so that's what we see. God is using all of this for the spiritual good of his people. But first they must be born again before they can receive any spiritual good out of all that's taking place.
I'd like you to address also his solution to this suffering. He talks about daily Mass where possible, five first Saturdays, three Hail Marys, rosary, confession, consecration to Our Lady of ourselves and our families, wearing the scapular, and intercession of the saints and guardian angels.
Well, look at each one of those things. All three of those go against the Word of God. The daily Mass, that is a blasphemous representation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a Eucharist. It is the sin of idolatry, and so the Pope is encouraging people to participate in this sin of idolatry. Three Hail Marys, that goes against the Bible. We're called to pray to the Father through the Son. In fact, we're not to use repetitious prayers such as the Hail Mary, as Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew 6. And consecration to Our Lady, that's so much against Scripture, wearing a scapula in the intercession of the saints. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. So you can see all of these exhortations from the Pope go against the Bible, and many of them are sinful and very idolatrous.
Mike, we're told in Scripture, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want to ask you this, because you studied for decades Roman Catholic Catechism. You live by it. You've also now become a student of the Word of God and place your sole authority and trust in the Word of God. Is there any place, anywhere in Scriptures, that direct people to pray to Mary?
No. In fact, we challenge Roman Catholics. In fact, we challenge anyone that's lost in religion that's praying to anyone other than God. We say, find one verse where a God-fearing person would pray to anyone other than God. And, of course, our goal is to get people into the Word of God and have them challenged in their unbelief. But as they search the Scriptures, they will not find one God-fearing person praying to anyone other than God. He is the only one that's omniscient, omnipresent. And, you know, Mary, in order for Roman Catholics throughout the world, 1.2 billion Roman Catholics praying to Mary, she would have to be omniscient and omnipresent in order to hear the prayers of all of these people. But once again, they've given Mary the attributes of Almighty God and exalted her to the position of a Godhead.
Mike Gendron with us here today on Crosstalk. Mike, you've indicated that the Pope is using this coronavirus crisis to accelerate his push for a global religion. How is he doing that?
Well, it's really interesting because the Vatican now has four cases of the coronavirus, and they've got a total of 1,728 in the region where the Vatican resides. There's now a total number of 69,000 and over 6,800 deaths in Italy, and so Pope Francis believes the COVID-19 pandemic is basically nature having a fit in response to the environmental pollution. He said, God always forgives, we forgive sometimes, but nature never forgives. And so once again, he is going outside of Scripture to propose what is really happening with this coronavirus. But he is using this virus to really unite the world together. We know that from the onset, he wanted to make the ecumenical agenda his primary priority, and we see that he's doing that, not only bringing about a global religion in every way he can by uniting all professing Christians under the influence of the papacy, but he's also building bridges into all the religions of the world. And we see that primarily as he builds bridges with the Muslim religion, but he's meeting with different religious leaders, the Orthodox patriarch, and this is his goal, to unite all people under the power and influence of the papacy.
Pope Francis is granting a general absolution of sin. What exactly does that mean? When he does this, what takes effect? What's he doing?
Well, for the longest time, Roman Catholics have been told the only way to have their mortal sins absolved is to confess that sin to a priest. But now, since we have this social distancing and Catholics are not able to confess their sins to a priest, the Pope has actually offered a absolution to all of those who will pray directly to God. And, of course, we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 21, where that's what the Apostle Peter instructed Simon to do. He said, your heart is not right before God, therefore repent of this wickedness and pray that the Lord will forgive you. And so here we see who Catholics believe was their first pope, encouraging people to pray directly to God for forgiveness. But when Pope Francis is offering a general absolution of sin for confessing directly to God as opposed to going through a priest, he's actually doing something that's biblical, because we know that the only way that God will forgive sin is when repentance is preached in the name of Jesus. We see that in Luke 24, verse 47. So before any Roman Catholic can have their sins absolved or forgiven, they first must repent of the false way, the false gospel that they're embracing, and put all of their trust in Christ alone as their all-sufficient Savior. That's the only way any sins can be forgiven.
But do they not need to go back to the former way of confessing to a priest after this is over?
Yes, I'm sure that will be the Pope's exhortation after this is over, to go back to what was normal.
Mike Gendron with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick 60-second break. Our topic today, contending for the gospel, and we're going to learn more from Mike after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way on the VCY America Network.
This is with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different races of men are there?
Actually, Chris, the Bible never uses the term race, except when it talks about the human race. Biblically, we all go back to Noah and we all go back to Adam. We're all descended from them and related to all the people of the earth. And you know, this is exactly what genetic studies of the different ethnic groups is showing. Every ethnic group is so genetically similar to the others that it's like we're all from the same family, almost clones. Chris, notice how well this evidence lines up with what the Bible has to say. We don't use scientific evidence to prove the Bible, but we can, by using the evidence, show just how right that Bible is. Aren't you glad we can go back to Genesis and get it right?
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron with us here today from Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. Our topic today is contending for the gospel, and we'll be getting further into that here, even in this segment. Mike is a former Roman Catholic for over three decades and observing what is happening in this world today as it pertains to the novel coronavirus. And we know that there is much that is coming forth from the Vatican right now. As a matter of fact, the Vatican has come under lockdown. And Mike, I understand they're live streaming daily masses from the Pope, and the Vatican also releasing this wearable smart rosary. Can you address these issues?
Yeah. In Roman Catholic theology, Roman Catholics are obligated to participate in the sacrifice of the Mass under the penalty of mortal sin. And so that's why the Pope is making the Mass available through the Internet, through live streaming. As far as the electronic rosary, I just think that's hilarious that here, once again, we've talked about how repetitious prayers are forbidden by the Lord when He taught us how to pray. The Catholic Church is now using technology to encourage Catholics to continue to babble like the pagans and pray repetitious prayers to Mary. The rosary is, it actually has 53 prayers to Mary, six of them to the Father and the Trinity. And so, once again, it's the exaltation of Mary above God. And, you know, Jim, it's really interesting because when we look at Scripture, especially 2 Corinthians 11:3, we see the Apostle Paul writing, "I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." And so that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get everyone to take their eyes off of Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. And he uses that by distracting people to Mary instead of staying focused on Christ.
We know we were talked in that first segment about the Pope offering the absolution, but we also are finding that there are Catholic churches. Here's one from Tyler, Texas, in which the bishop has asked, you know, priests, bishops, and deacons to find creative ways to give out our daily bread to the faithful members, but they're actually holding drive-through confessions, Mike.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, once again, when you understand Roman Catholic theology, they say that sacraments are necessary for salvation. And so when you have a shutdown like we're seeing because of this virus, the Catholic Church has to provide ways for Catholics to continue to receive sacraments, whether it be the Eucharist or whether it be confessing your sins to a priest. And so we have this priest now that's setting up in the church parking lot, and people actually drive by and they make their confessions to the priest. There are some who want to confess anonymously, and so they ask the priest to put on a blindfold so that he will not see who is confessing their sins to him. And so after the confession, then the priest will give them absolution for their sins. Mm. So it's very interesting to see everything that's taking place.
Yes, and now, Mike, you mentioned the sacraments and so forth, and whether it be Roman Catholicism or any religion out there that talks about sacraments, can sacraments merit salvation for us?
Well, no, not at all. Our salvation is in Christ alone, and that was the cry of the Reformers. Remember back in the 16th century, the Catholic Church taught that you are saved by grace plus merit, faith plus works, mm-hmm. Christ plus other mediators, according to Scripture plus tradition, and glory went to God plus Mary and the saints. And so the Reformers said, no, this is absolutely wrong. This is another gospel. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, all for the glory of God alone. So sacraments have no part in a person's salvation. It is total faith in Christ alone as our all-sufficient Savior.
The Pope is also offering plenary indulgences?
Yes, he is. This isn't the first time. You may remember at the turn of the century, the Pope offered a plenary indulgence for anybody who would fly to Rome and go through the wooden door in St. Peter's Basilica. So rather than pointing people to the living door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of their sins, he pointed them to a wooden door. And now he's offering a plenary indulgence for those who have a desire to be forgiven, but cannot confess to a priest. In fact, it's really interesting because he's offering a plenary indulgence to those who are dying, provided that they have prayed sometime in their life. That's the only condition. And so once again, it's another gospel. There's no forgiveness outside of repentance in the name of Christ. But this is a pope who, by all evidence, as you compare what he's teaching with Scripture, you have to say he has the spirit of Antichrist, because most of what he teaches goes directly against what our Lord Jesus taught. He's even taught there is no hell, and yet the Lord Jesus mentioned hell 30 times. That's the reason he came, was to save people from hell. But this pope has the spirit of Antichrist, and more than ever, I'm pleading with Roman Catholics to test his teaching as a good Berean. They tested everything the Apostle Paul taught with Scripture to find out if what he was teaching was true. This pope needs to come under the same scrutiny as an apostle. And I just plead with Catholics to read the Scripture. Then you will know that the pope is deceiving you. Then you can repent and believe the true gospel of Christ.
Mike, I'd like you to address the area of apparitions. I have a press release here that came out January 29th from Carmel Communications, saying that there have been a number of Marian apparitions approved by the Catholic Church, but none has generated more devotion and controversy than those that occurred in Fatima, Portugal in 1917. And they mentioned the release of this new film coming in theaters across North America on April 24th, the inspirational feature film Fatima. Could you talk and address this issue of apparitions of Mary and even how that ties into our topic here today?
Well, sure, Jim. In fact, many Catholic theologians believe that Our Lady's messages are uniquely designed for difficult times, such as the ones that we're in today. And so a lot of the messages of these apparitions of Mary, which are supernatural visions, they're not really Mary. And the reason we know that is because in 1 John 4:1, we're called to test every spirit. And so all of these messages are recorded. I'd like to read one from the apparition of Mary of Fatima. I quote, "You saw hell where the souls of poor sinners go. In order to save them, God wishes to establish devotion to my Sacred Heart. If people do what I ask, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. Only I can help you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." So, Jim, anybody that knows Scripture will know that that is another spirit. We're supposed to test spirits with the Word of God, and that goes directly against the supreme authority for faith, the Word of God.
Pope Francis is always trying to tie this coronavirus to an environmental issue. Tell us what he told a Spanish journalist.
Yeah, I mentioned that he believes that this is because of the environmental pollution that's going on. He says nature is having a fit. That's why we see the coronavirus today. Mm. Of course, that has nothing to do with the environmental issue, but again, the fact that this pope is in a position of authority in the Catholic Church, he is said to speak infallibly whenever he speaks from the chair of Peter, and so many Roman Catholics look to him as their ultimate source for truth. The Roman Catholic Church denies that Scripture is the supreme authority. They have their infallible pope along with their sacred traditions that they also elevate to be equal in authority with Scripture.
Mike, if you could address, so we've talked about, you know, the truth is, as you presented here, it's not found in the Mass, it's not found in the apparitions, it's not found in the absolutions, it's not, you know, found in the, you know, being granted indulgences, all these things. These are not the gospel that is presented. Can you clearly define for us what exactly is the gospel?
Well, sure. When we look at the gospel, we first have to look at God. He's the one we always start with. He is our creator, and the Bible describes him as holy. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, and he demands that all people be holy, just as he is. But then we have man, who God created perfectly, but man fell into sin. And so man now is condemned under the wrath of God, but God didn't leave us in that condition, but he provided a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, who was born of a virgin, died on Calvary's cross. He died as a substitute for those who would put their trust in him. When they trust him, he takes all of their sin, all of their guilt, all their punishment. He is immersed in the wrath of God, and in turn, he gives the repenting sinner his righteousness. So now he has a permanent right standing before God. And so the response to the gospel is to repent and believe it. That was the first command of our Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 1:15. Anyone who repents and believes the gospel, God offers the gift of eternal life, the complete forgiveness of sin, the assurance of spending eternity with our Savior. He offers every spiritual blessing in Christ. And those who are born again are now called to take this gospel throughout the world to those who are perishing. But it is a glorious gospel. It's all of grace. It's all by faith in Christ alone. And this is what we need to proclaim in this time where people are looking at their mortality like never before. We need to recognize that, yes, there is a disease that we're facing called the coronavirus, and right now there is no human cure, but there is a more deadly disease that we all inherited from Adam, and there is no human cure for the sin disease either. But praise God, there is a divine cure, and it's available free for the asking because of a love story written in blood on a wooden cross 2,000 years ago. So more than ever, we need to take advantage of this strategic opportunity to let people know that, yes, we all will die eventually. And the Bible says that after death comes judgment, and the only way to escape that judgment is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in John 5, verse 24. So I hope that your listeners will take advantage of this. It's a great opportune time. Let's don't let this crisis be wasted. Let's use it for the glory of God and for the salvation of sinners.
And I'd like to just go ahead and quote that verse from John 5:24 that Mike just referenced, because in there is truth. It is truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Mike, and I know we're just a minute from a break here, but our nation, even our world, is going through a tough times right now, a crisis, and many are saying, hey, this should be a time of calling for unity. Why then, Mike, are you causing division by what you're saying? Some would say you're even bashing. How do you respond?
Well, Jim, truth is the only thing I know of that brings unity and division. Jesus said, I came to divide father against son, mother against daughter, and that's what the gospel does. It divides believers from unbelievers. But truth is also where we can have unity. When we're born again of the Spirit of God, we are one body and we have unity with one another. So we'll talk more on the other side of the break.
Okay, Mike Gendron with us here today on Crosstalk. And just a short time, we'll be opening up some phone lines as well. Matter of fact, if you'd like to get on board right now, you can with your questions at 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
What will the world look like in the last days? One significant clue the Bible offers is a fascinating look at the New Babylon. More than one-tenth of the book of Revelation is devoted to prophecies about this city, the center of the Antichrist world government. In the book New Babylon Rising, trusted prophecy expert Ron Rhodes offers insight into what God's Word tells us about the worldwide influence of New Babylon in the end times. You'll discover the rampant paganism and evil that will mark this city, the forthcoming time of great tribulation, the coming cashless society, and you'll see how prophecies presented in the Old Testament will be fulfilled. You'll discover that no matter how uncertain the future looks, you can have peace knowing that God is in full control. New Babylon Rising, available for a donation of $17 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. We'll be right back.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is our guest. He directs a ministry called Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. We'll be telling you about a special opportunity to receive some resources through his ministry here momentarily. But Mike, as we're talking, our topic today is contending for the gospel. And some are, you know, would say, hey, you're being a little divisive at a time when we should be pushing toward unity. Why are you bashing? And Mike, we just were involved in that discussion when the break came upon us. We'll have you finish that off for us.
Yeah, Jim, I hope your listeners understand that it's not bashing to rescue those who are perishing. The worst thing we can do if we know someone is believing a false and fatal gospel is to let them march proudly toward hell's gates. We have to intervene. We have to lovingly present the truth of the gospel to them so that they can be saved. And so it's the most loving thing that we can do is to rescue those who are perishing by confronting them in their unbelief and pointing them to the scriptures and the all-sufficient Savior that we have in Christ Jesus.
Mike, you've got a resource today that we want to tell our listeners about that you're offering through Proclaiming the Gospel. It's a book that you wrote not long ago entitled Contending for the Gospel.
Yeah, it's really a book for the times in which we live because, as we talked earlier, we're in a period of great deception where the gospel is under attack like never before, not only with the ecumenical movement of the Roman Catholic religion, but we find many Protestant pastors also compromising the gospel message so that they'll have a larger following. So the book has 11 chapters, and they're all about the gospel, starting with the foundation of the gospel, the message of the gospel. We deal with the compromise of the gospel, the opposition to the gospel, the departure from the gospel, the Catholic Church and the gospel, the urgency of the gospel. It really is a must-read for anyone who wants to earnestly contend for the faith and equip themselves for the spiritual battles that we face. And these battles will only intensify.
And, Mike, you are actually offering, being on Crosstalk today, a special discount for our Crosstalk listeners.
Yes, we love the VCY listeners, and so we're making available the book at a 20% discount. So we encourage you to go to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, and you can order it there. You'll see a message for the VCY listeners. Or you can call us at the end of this radio program at 817-579-5300. I'm sorry.
It's 379.
379. I don't even know my own number. Yep. That was 817-379-5300.
Great. And folks, we'll give that number out again. Of course, you can't get through right now. Mike's on that line here with us today, but you can go on his site, proclaimingthegospel.org, and click on store and then on books, and you'll see it right there, contending for the gospel, and the details right there. Special discount for our Crosstalk listeners. And Mike, I understand for anybody who gets that book, you're also sending along a special tract as well. Which Jesus will you trust?
Sure. Roman Catholics today cannot receive the Eucharist because they cannot attend Mass. So rather than receive a false Christ in the Eucharist, we're encouraging them to receive the true Christ spiritually by faith. And this gospel tract that we're offering will give you a contrast between the Eucharistic Christ of the Catholic Church and the true Christ as he's gloriously revealed in Scripture.
So that tract, Which Jesus Do You Trust, being sent with anybody who orders that book from you here as a result of listening to Crosstalk.
That's correct.
Okay. Again, folks, you can go to the website, proclaimingthegospel.org. You can write down the phone number for after the program. You can connect with their ministry. Here's a number on this, or if you have specific questions that go beyond what we've talked about today, 817-379-5300. 817-379-5300. Let's go to the phone lines, beginning in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Susan, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am a questioning Catholic. There are things that I really do appreciate about my Catholic upbringing. I'm very much a pro-life advocate, and I believe the Church has done a lot of good in the world in terms of founding hospitals and schools and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that in very recent years, the Mass has become a tremendous source of anxiety for me. And I'm not sure why, but I'm just wondering, is there a way for me to sort of take what I like and leave the rest? You know, is there a way for me to still hold on to Catholic tradition that is beneficial for me, since I appreciate some of them very much? Or is this something I should leave completely? I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place, okay. And I would just appreciate your feedback about that.
Sure. Stay on the line then, here. Yeah, stay on the line. Okay. Susan, let's have Mike address that first, and we'll have some dialogue here.
Well, thank you for calling in. You're an answer to prayer. We actually prayed that Roman Catholics would be listening, and we challenged. I would encourage you to read the Scriptures, especially the Gospel of John, and there you'll see in chapter 4, verse 24, that God seeks worshipers in spirit and in truth. And so you would not be able to continue in the Catholic Church because it deceives its people about life's most critical issue, and that is, what must I do to be saved? They have a false and fatal gospel that's under the condemnation of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. So I would encourage you to come out of the Catholic Church, and you can call VCY or call us, and we can point you to a biblical church that has a high view of God and a high view of Scripture and faithfully proclaims the gospel of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
And Susan, please, and we're going to let you ask a follow-up question to Mike, but please know you don't have to abandon being pro-life in order to leave the church. I mean, there are many pro-life organizations that do not have the roots in a church that's teaching that which is false.
Okay.
That is so true. In fact, I spend a lot of time at abortion clinics protesting and trying to rescue physical life. But while we're there, we're also witnessing to Roman Catholics so that they can know spiritual life. That is obviously very important as well. So wherever we go, when we see Catholics that are protesting at abortion mills, we want them to know the gospel as well.
Susan, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes. I was wondering, not long ago I read a magazine article. It was in the Catholic Answers magazine, and it was about one of the Catholic apologists, I can't remember which one, I don't remember whether it was Trent Horn or Patrick Madrid or somebody else, but they had attempted to speak with Mike Gendron at a place where he was speaking, and the article portrayed the church that was hosting Mike as a speaker as being very hostile to Catholics. Could you speak to that, and is that really true? Did that really happen?
No, in fact, I often encourage evangelicals, when they reach out to Roman Catholics, to approach them in the spirit of love and compassion, but hate the religion that deceives them. We have to make that distinction. We love Roman Catholic people, but we hate the religion that deceives them. And so my hostility is toward the Catholic religion, not to Catholic people. I hope you see the difference.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Susan.
Well, you're welcome. And please follow up either on the email or give us a call after the show's over. We'd love to help you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And again, Mike would be glad to further the conversation. We'll give his number again after a little bit later in the program, but his website, too, proclaimingthegospel.org. You see the email address right there as well, info@proclaimingthegospel.org. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Let's go to another caller from Minnesota. This is John. You're on the air, John.
Hi, Mike. I just want to say, I have a testimony a lot like you. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I come from a very, very, very devout Roman Catholic family. I have a very good Catholic upbringing, but I had no relationship with Christ until I was 20 years old. I had a John 6:63 experience where the Word of God just became rhema. I mean, the Catholic Church was just boring. I quit going to church. And when I became a Christian, I mean, church just became exciting, and my family was not too happy at me about this, and they practically rejected me, and I tried to you know, I explained to him, you know, that by 300 AD, everything Jesus had taught and preached against slipped into the Catholic Church, but they tried to say that the Catholic Church is the only true church, and they used the scripture Matthew chapter, I think 15, where Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Christ." And they say, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And the Catholics think that was for Catholics, that it was the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I got another question for you too. Why priests can't marry? Have we ever addressed that? I thought it was in 2 Corinthians 9:7.
Okay, tell you what, John, you've had a lot of questions here. We got a lot of people lined up behind you, and I'm going to have Mike address those issues here. So we've got the priest and marriage issue, if you can briefly address that, Mike, and the other issue as well.
Well, sure. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in latter times some will depart from the faith and follow doctrines of demons. And then Paul goes on to describe one of the doctrines of demons is forbidding people to marry. And so the Catholic Church is obviously following a doctrine of demon there. We see in 1 Corinthians 9 that Paul asked the question, don't we have a right to take along a believing wife? And so there you see the precedent even in the first century for apostles to marry, and the Roman Catholic Church, of course, believes their bishops are successors of the apostles. As far as Matthew, upon this rock I will build my church, the Catholic Church misinterprets that, saying that it's Peter that Jesus is going to build his church upon, but it's really Peter's profession of faith as to who Christ is. A few verses later, you see that Jesus says, before I build my church, I must first go and die for my church. And Peter says, Lord, may it never be. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Hmm. You have in mind the things of man rather than things of God. So clearly this is not a man that Jesus would build his church upon. He built the church upon the profession of faith. Jesus is the only rock upon which his church is built.
John, thanks for the call. We're going next to Don in Pensacola. You're on the air. Hello, Don. Okay, let's go to Lewis in Milwaukee. Lewis, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. This is for Mike. What was the turning point after 30 years of being involved in the Catholic faith? Was there somebody telling you that the Catholic faith was wrong, or was it your hunger in the search for the truth? What actually triggered the turning point in your life to realize that the Catholic faith was misleading not only to you, but other family and friends of yours?
Sure, Lewis. Testimony of God's amazing grace. I was 35 years old when I went to a evangelical seminar. I left there recognizing that the Bible needed to become my supreme authority in all matters of faith, and so I opened it for the first time. And as I began reading it, I had a crisis of faith because what I was reading went diametrically opposed to what I was taught as a Catholic. And my testimony is very similar to that of Martin Luther's. It was the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brought forth life as I repented and believed the gospel. It was God who granted me repentance and gave me the ability to see the glorious truths that are found in Scripture.
Thank you for the call. We've got to take a break. Matter of fact, Mike was with us giving his testimony, and that was from darkness to light, from religion to a relationship with God. I believe you can even watch that on our website here as well. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Neo-Marxists and our leadership at the local, state, and federal level are taking advantage of the coronavirus. By the way, there seems to be overwhelming evidence that China deliberately allowed this to spread around the world. They did not inform the World Health Organization for over a month after they knew what was going on. They allowed people to be infected and then travel to places throughout the world. Ironically, in 1999, two communist Chinese colonels wrote a document for the People's Liberation Army entitled Unrestricted Warfare that we've discussed for years. In that document, they call for using biological weapons on America and that they could get Americans to be afraid and surrender. They talked about the fact that Americans would be psychologically damaged. Americans now are psychologically damaging and destroying our own economy with socialist plans. The coronavirus is real. The solution to the communist Chinese coronavirus is not to collapse our own economy.
know, some of you might be a little on the upset side right now. Can I encourage you to go to the scriptures? Go to, you know, to test the things that Mike is saying here today. And Mike, I'm confident you'd agree with that, for people to go to scriptures and test what you're saying according to the Word of God.
Definitely, and that's why I've tried to back up everything I've said with the supreme authority, the scriptures, the Word of God.
We're going to be sharing with you that offer again from Mike here in just a moment, so be ready to jot it down, a website and phone number. Let's go next to David, who's calling from Buckeye, Arizona. Hi, David, you're on the air. Hello, David. Yes, turn the radio down, please.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Sure.
My humble and quick question referring to the gospel is it true then in all four gospels you mentioned, sir, truth? And so truth, I believe Jesus does say, this is my body. Do this in memory of me. And that is the truth on which the Catholic Church is built. And so respectfully, sir, then, what do you disagree with about that? Jesus is not a liar. Mm-hmm. He says, this is my body.
Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 25, that he used figurative language. And so he also said he was the door. And so when he said, eat my body and drink my blood, he was speaking figuratively, because in the same chapter, John chapter 6, he said, if you believe and behold me as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you will have eternal life. And so you have to take one of them literally and one of them figuratively, because both of them result in eternal life. What happens if you eat and drink, but you don't behold and believe? Do you have eternal life? So I hope you understand that figurative language is important throughout Scripture. We always need to take the Bible literally unless we see that it is supposed to be taken figuratively.
So, sir, then that's, I guess, the point of the question, and that is, what makes you think he's not being literal? Because Jesus is not a human being. It's not a cannibalism taking a bite out of his arm. He says, this is my body. He's the divine being.
Yes, but if you'll understand, John 6 was written a couple of years before the crucifixion, so what did people do for the next 2 years? You see, there's so many reasons to take it figuratively that anybody that reads all of Scripture will realize that it's faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way of salvation. And so we partake in the Lord's Supper as a symbolic act. We're to remember his death until he comes again. But it's not a sacrifice, it's a memorial, and the Catholic Church treats it as a sacrifice.
David, we thank you for your call. We'll be giving a phone number as well as an email address here in just a bit that you can follow up with Mike further to talk on this issue. David is calling next in Rome, Georgia. David, you're on the air.
Hey, this is David.
You're on the air, David.
Mm-hmm. I think your guest, Mike, I'm a Catholic, lifelong Catholic, and a former priest. And your guest, Mike, is either doesn't understand the Catholic Church or he's anti-Catholic.
Okay, go ahead and explain why you're saying that, David.
Well, first of all, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And if you're a Christian, we're in the same... We're on the same side.
Okay, so David, what has Mike said that is in error?
Well, we don't pray to Mary as divine. I mean, there's 20 things he's wrong about.
Well, I never said that you pray to Mary as divine. You pray to Mary, though, and that goes against the Bible. We're not supposed to pray to anybody other than God, and if you pray to anyone who's dead, that's an abomination before God. So I didn't say that Mary was divine.
You're really severe. Hey, at Cana.
Well, no, let's deal with this
Cana,
question. David, said, hello, David. Let's deal with this issue about praying to Mary. David?
Jesus.
Excuse me, David. Let's deal with this question, because you said he's really severe. Do you find anywhere in Scripture, David, that one is to pray to Mary?
We don't pray to Mary.
The Pope is.
Mom, would you put in a good word for us with your son? Jesus.
Well, isn't that praying to Mary?
Hey, Mom.
No,
you ask Jesus to hear my prayer?
Hail Mary, full of grace.
What's wrong with, hey, Mom, would you ask Jesus to hear my prayer? What's wrong with that?
Mike?
Well, it's unbiblical. It goes against Scripture.
Yeah.
Cana, isn't Cana in Scripture? The wedding feast at Cana?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Jesus' mom asked him to help people. They have no wine.
Okay, address that, Mike, if you would.
Well, once again, if you're trying to suggest that Jesus is saying, pray to my mother, it doesn't happen in that passage. It's called eisegesis when you add to the scriptures.
So, indeed, this is a situation in which Mary didn't have the solution, go to Jesus, and directed people to go to Jesus, and that's something what we need to do as well. Thank you for your call. While our lines are packed and many more people wishing to speak here, Mike, I do want you to take opportunity, though, to make sure that our listeners are aware of the offer, and we want to get out a phone number. We want to get out an email address as well, because there are so many more that will have questions that they can follow up directly with your ministry.
Sure. Jim, we're offering my latest book, Contending for the Gospel. The subtitle is For the Glory of Christ and the Sanctity of His Church, and when we recognize the attack of the gospel today, this is an excellent book to prepare you for the spiritual deception that is really running rampant throughout the earth, not only in the church, but outside the church. So that's available to the VCY listeners for a 20% donation, and you can go to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, click on store, and then go to resources, and you'll find the book there. Or you can call us after the show at 817-379-5300. We'll also include a free publication entitled, Which Jesus Do You Trust?, which contrasts the Eucharistic Christ of the Catholic Church with the Jesus of Scripture that is gloriously revealed as our Savior.
Okay, again, the website is proclaimingthegospel.org. You can contact them by phone, and no doubt you have many other questions, and here's the number you can call, 817-379-5300, 817-379-5300, on email to info@proclaimingthegospel.org. I wish we had more time. We've run out of time, but Mike, thank you so much for being with us today.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mike Gendron here from Proclaiming the Gospel. Again, you can contact him, 817-379-5300. We apologize to callers that are on hold yet, but time has run its course, and we thank you for joining us. We do need to contend for the gospel, and the things that we hear, folks, we need to compare to what Scripture tells us and make Scripture our final authority. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.